Well, you'll notice on the back of the bulletins that I had a nice message prepared for this morning, and God kind of changed directions for me last night about 10 o'clock and said, we don't need that this morning, so you'll hear that message next week. Part of the reason for that is the beginning of a trilogy of messages, and I want you to do whatever you can to be here for the next 3 Sundays, and try not to miss. If you are serving in children's ministry or whatever, make sure you go to the website and listen to the message online, because I just really think that it's critical we hear those next 3 messages. So we're going to hold that off until next week. This morning I said, we want to spend some time in prayer, and as I look around the room and kind of scan, I'm looking into a lot of people that are plugged into small groups, and so you're used to being in a group where you pray. Some of you aren't, and that's okay. We're not going to make it awkward for you. You don't have to pray during this time, but I want to encourage you as the Lord prompts your heart to spend some time in prayer. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to get in a little group of about 7 people, okay? Now, a group of about 7 people is anywhere between 2 and 15, okay? But somewhere in that range, we're going to kind of break it down a little bit, and whoever has the biggest shoe size is the person that's going to be the facilitator. So some of you are out of luck on that. That's okay. I'll give you some direction on that, okay? We won't get lost in all of that. Before we go into that, I want to give you some direction from God's Word about how we're going to pray. And in order to set that up a little bit, I need to know who are the people in this auditorium right now who have been adopted. Now, I'm not talking about spiritually and biblically. I know that you immediately race to the spiritual and biblical component of all of that. But I mean really, truly, you were adopted into someone else's family. How many of you adopted children do we have? All right, raise your hands high. We want to see you if you're not ashamed of that. Look at how many we have there, okay? Some of you are going, and you're looking at your spouse like, I'm not even quite sure. That's okay. I want to know, is there anybody here who is an adoptive parent? You've adopted someone. Raise your hands, okay? All right. Well, the Scripture has some very specific things to tell us about adoption, and I want you to see those things here in God's Word. Now, you can open up your Bible, if you'd like to Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to go to one other place, hold your finger there in Ephesians. Did I say chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 1 is where I want you, and another place I want you is in Galatians chapter 4. So if you can find those two places, in order to race through it a little quicker here, I've actually put those two verses on the screen so that we can look at it. Both of these verses have to do with adoption. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God says, He has predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. If you are a Christian, the position that you have, the relationship that you have with God, is one of an adopted child relating to an adoptive father. Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God, right? And yet the Scripture teaches that we are joint heirs with Christ, which means we've been adopted into the family. Listen, we have the same rights and the same responsibilities in the family of God as, listen to this, our brother Jesus, okay? As adoptive children, even though we were not born into the family, we have been adopted into the family, and we get to be treated as if we were the son of the living God. We're adopted into His family. And so, as an adoptive son, do you know what you have a right to do? You have a right to ask your father for stuff. Now, not just stuff that you can handle and see and put your fingers on. We've got a right to ask Him for the very blessings that He as a father wants to give to His children. Look at this verse in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. So that we might receive adoption as sons, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son, capital S there, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The word Abba there is an interesting word in the original language there. It's equivalent to the word that we would use for daddy. A very small, vulnerable, helpless, innocent child crawling up in her father's lap and just saying, Dada, Daddy. Being very secure in the presence of that father. And the spirit within each adoptive child is one that should be crying out continually, Daddy, Daddy, I need you. Daddy, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, Daddy, I embrace you. That's the spirit that should be in the heart of each adoptive child. So as we enter into a season of prayer, I want you to understand that what we are doing is something that is very natural for a child of God. An adoptive child of God should embrace the right and the responsibility to come and cry out to God. I've taught you this before, but I've got children running around my house all the time, and I have noticed that my children pray all the time. Not necessarily to their adoptive father, but to their real dad, okay? Two things about children who pray to their natural fathers. They do it confidently, and they do it consistently, okay? There was a particular toy that my youngest child wanted for Christmas, and for months leading up to Christmas, all we heard was about this Zuzu pet, okay? Now, I had no idea what a Zuzu pet was, but my daughter knew what the Zuzu pet was. And so every day for like 2 months leading up to Christmas was, Daddy, can I have a Zuzu pet? And of course, because I don't like my children, I said, no, get away from me! Is that what I said? No, I want my child to be happy. I want my child to have everything that she can possibly have. And the problem is this. She asked so confidently in her little innocent mind, she thinks that I have an unlimited supply of money to buy her every Zuzu pet on the planet. And the reality is I don't have much at all. I'm very limited in my resources. I can only give her what I can afford. That's the difference between the natural father and the adoptive father. The father that has adopted you and I is the richest, most powerful, most influential daddy in the universe. He created all the stuff. He owns the toy factory, and it is going to get done as long as he says you can have it. Could be the only thing he's waiting for is a child to very confidently come and say, I want it. I need it. Daddy, I love you. Okay? So a child asks confidently. And secondly, a child asks consistently. I heard it all day, every day, for 2 months. Zuzu pet, Zuzu pet, Zuzu, Zuzu, Zuzu pet. I mean, it was just the chant around the house. And you know what? I didn't rebuke her for that. She's a child. She wants something. She's got a dad. She thinks he can supply. It's going to happen. I was talking to a guy yesterday. Man, I don't even remember who this was, but I heard that the president or the CEO of Sprint, wireless cell phone company, is a graduate of Notre Dame. And he came in for a football game one weekend a year ago, and he couldn't get cell phone reception while he was on campus on his Sprint phone. Well, the next day, everybody had 5 bars, okay? Why? Because he had the power to change the situation, right? And he had the power to distribute it. It just took him realizing there was a need in order for there to be a change in the circumstance. Well, as adoptive children, we have a father that has the power to change the circumstances as long as he knows, he does know there is a need, but he could be crying, could be waiting for the child to cry out to recognize we have the need. James tells us we have not because we ask not. Okay? So having said all that, let me tell you some things that we can ask God for, okay? I mentioned to you that we really wanted 2011 to be the greatest year of spiritual growth that we've ever had. I hope you've made that a goal for 2011. God, I want this to be the greatest season of spiritual growth I've ever had in my life. So here's some personal growth points that we can target in prayer, okay? And here's just a real succinct, quick list. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says this, "But as for you, O man of God," we might even say, O son of God, adoptive son of God, a man of God, here's things we can pray for. He says, flee these things. Now, you have to know the context of the things that he was wanting us to flee from. Specifically, in that context, he's talking about fleeing from the love of money, okay? So, a point of spiritual growth for me is to be less in love with money than I was in 2011. That's why we have things like financial peace. That's why we need to pry loose of the things that sometimes grip us. Here's another growth point. To pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, I want more faith than I had in 2010, love, more love for my family, more love for God, more love for lost people, steadfastness. Steadfastness is what you need when everything is crashing around you. The circumstances are bad. Steadfastness means to remain under the pressure. And some of us are facing some pressure, and our prayers have been, God, I want out of this. And yet a personal growth point for you might be to stay under it. Be steadfast, unmovable. And all of those things with gentleness. Gentleness. As a son and a father would relate to one another. There are times that there's hard truth that needs to be spoken, but it's all done in the context of gentleness, okay? So this is what I want the outline of our prayer to be right now. We're going to break up here in about 30 seconds. I want you to find about 7 people around you there, and just, you may not even know their names, smile at them, make eye contact, very quickly, tell them your name if you don't know each other, and then I want you to bow your heads, and as you're prompted by God, I want you to spend a few minutes praying through this passage of Scripture. One of those growth points for you probably stuck out. Like, God, that word gentleness. Man, when I heard that word gentleness, it was like an arrow of conviction into my heart. I realize I haven't been gentle with my children. I realize I haven't been gentle with my wife. I realize I haven't been gentle with my employer or employees. God, that word gentleness. God, I need you to change that in me. I don't want to be like that in 2011. That's the nature of our prayer time, okay? So we're praying for ourselves in a group. You say, why would we do that? Why wouldn't we just do that privately? Because the person across from you may not have realized that he needed to grow in that area too. And when he heard you say it, God used your prayer to prompt that prayer in his life, and that guy's going to say, you know what, God, what that friend just shared, that's exactly where I've been living. And God, I need you to do that in me. And then third point, God, that's me too. Or God, gentleness is not my problem. My problem is godliness. I don't know what God is like, so I don't really know how I can be like him or godly. So God, I need you to reveal yourself to me. I want to know you better in 2011. Okay, so we're going to spend about 5 or 7 minutes in this season of prayer, and then I'll prompt you, I'll give you a different direction, we'll come back out of that and we'll go a different direction, okay? Everybody stand up, look around, find about 7 people, very quickly, I'm talking 20 seconds, make sure you know everybody, and then bow your heads and be prayed for and pray as God prompts your heart. Feel free to look at the screen. We'll keep the scripture up here. And so if you need God to prompt you, you can look at his word. And he'll do that. You don't have to pray. But as God prompts your spirit, obey that prompting and ask the Lord to work. Who needs to pray for righteousness and godliness? Maybe somebody would be prompted to pray for righteousness and godliness. So, Father, we individually just want to cry out that you would do these things in our lives. We acknowledge our own inability. We can't stir up righteousness and godliness and faith and love and gentleness and steadfastness. God, those are works that have to be done from your Spirit in ours. So, Abba, Father, we ask you, as your children, we know you want to do these things in us. God, would you get very personal and answer these prayers. We believe you're listening, and so, God, we want to see the fruit of this next week and next year. We want to be able to say, boy, you grew us up in those areas. We cry out to you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now stay right where you're at, because we're going to do that again. I'm going to give you another scripture. That was personally what we wanted to pray. I hope you were praying about that happening in you. Now this is what I want to invite you to do. And this really is a call out to those of you that are members and regular attenders of Harvest. I want you to pray specifically that as a body, we would grow. All right? Now, I'm not talking about numerically. I'm talking about grow in depth. If we take care of the depth, God will take care of the breadth, right? So I want us to grow in all of these ways, but I want to give you another scripture to think more collectively as a body, all right? And here it is. It's in, believe it or not, the book of Colossians, okay? Colossians 2:19, this is what it says. Holding fast to the head. And by the way, who is that? That's right. He is the head, holding fast. That means gripping tightly, not just whimsically kind of waving to him from across the playground, but holding fast, gripping tightly to the head, from whom the whole body, we know that the body is a word picture in Scripture for the church, okay? And so he's going to talk about the body, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. So a lot of church, a lot of books have been written, conferences, seminars about how to grow a church. Growth comes from God. I am 5'7 3/4 inches tall. I've always wanted to be taller. There's really not a whole lot I'm going to be able to do about that. I'm just going to grow to the height that God gives me. Our church will grow at the pace and to the height that God supplies. Okay? Now, you can get a bunch of people in a room. That doesn't necessarily mean you have a church, right? The growth is a growth that comes from God. And so as you go into prayer here, you can maybe think back to those qualities that we looked at earlier: righteousness, godliness, love, faith, gentleness, steadfastness, and gentleness. Those obviously need to be a part of our body. But I want us to think about being nourished. That means being fed. It's what we're trying to do here when we open the Bible. We study Scripture. It's what we do when we get in Bible studies. We get in groups, small groups. We're being nourished and fed. But notice, it's not an individual growth. It happens together. Okay? This arm is of no good to me unless it's connected to the shoulder, right? It all works together, and it all flows from the head. We're going to go to the head in prayer, and we're going to proclaim, God, we are holding tightly to you. Don't let us ever start holding on to something else. Don't ever let us casually just kind of let go and slip into other things. God, we acknowledge our growth is from you, and we want you to nourish us, feed us, give a hunger for your word, but then give us a horizontal connection to one another so that we grow together. All right, with the growth that is from God. That's the types of prayer that we want to pray. And so let me ask you to go back to your prayers, and just as God prompts your heart around the circle, don't take a lot of time, because we want to give time for other people to pray. Maybe it's just a sentence, maybe it's a paragraph, but let's ask God to do what he wants to do in our body. Now, Lord, we acknowledge that you are the head of this body. And so God, we come as individual members connected to you and connecting to one another. God, we've got such a long way to go in being an accurate reflection of your hands and your feet, but you've given us work to do. You've given us a word to believe and proclaim. And God, here we are, just less than a year, less than a month away from celebrating our second birthday as your body. God, we can look back and see growth that has come from you. Every individual that's here this morning has a story about how you led them into this body to be connected here. And God, you're using the individuals in this body to connect others and to point people to Christ. And so, God, we thank you for what has been done. But, God, we want you to act on your word. There is a growth that comes from God. We want to go on record. Abba, Father, Daddy, we want to see that growth. For your glory, and for our good. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me ask you to straighten your chairs back up for a minute and give me your attention for a moment. I want to remind you of a couple of things that you've heard in the last couple of months, either from me or in the form of an email or a letter that's arrived at your home. You may remember way back November the 23rd, there was an email that went out to those of you that have trusted us with your email and let you know about just kind of an end-of-year update on some things that was happening at Harvest Granger. And I want to read you part of what was in that email, just as a reminder. I'm sure you all memorized it, printed it out, pray through it every day. It's on your refrigerator. But actually, this is a portion of what was in that letter. It says, God has blessed us with North Point School, which provides us with an economical solution without a multi-year financial commitment. It's a blessing to have the school. As our facilities team continues to do their work, please pray that the facility might be gifted to our church or that additional resources may be identified. Until then, we must keep our focus on the health and growth of various ministries and our personal growth in Christ while patiently waiting for God's provision for a permanent facility. And you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about the wonder of Christmas faith, and we talked about Joseph and those incredible contrasts of God's commands to Joseph in those dreams. You remember he said, flee to Egypt and remain there. These two imperatives. It's a picture of what faith is all about. At times, faith requires us to move quickly. Instant obedience. What God has said by faith, do now. And then God says, just remain there. Don't move. Don't get excited. Don't create a plan. Just wait. So faith is a balance of moving quickly and waiting patiently. And as you know, at times and seasons in this church, as it's been planted, there's been times we've had to move quickly. And then there's times that we just feel like, God, come on. Are you ever going to come through? And a lot of that has related to being here and waiting for ministries to grow and finances to stabilize and see what God's doing. On the last day of the year, 2010, a couple of weeks ago, you told me, or I told you, that we were going to concentrate on maturity, growth in the body, and we were going to concentrate on ministry. You know, and a lot of us say, well, you know, when am I going to get to trade in this nice folding metal chair for something that's got a little cushioning on it and maybe something else? And we just wanted to say, look, that we're in a season where we're waiting patiently for God to provide. And until then, we need to understand we are the facility, right? The facility is not the school. The facility is you and I. We gather on Sunday. We scatter through the week to be God's building. And so I wanted to give you a little update on some things that God appears to be doing as we have been waiting patiently. Because beginning on Friday, like 36 hours ago, some things started happening where I think we may be moving from waiting patiently to moving quickly. Over the course of the past year, you know that Cornerstone Community Church has blessed us by allowing us to use their building for all kinds of different things. And matter of fact, didn't know it at all, but Greg Frona showed up at church today. He's sitting right here on the front row. He had no idea I was going to tell you all this. And Greg is the former pastor at Cornerstone. He's now at another church across town. What's the name of the church? Livingstone is associate pastor over there now. Greg is a great friend and has been a great friend to this church. And when we started Harvest Granger, he came to us. He says, look, if you ever need a place to meet for anything bigger than your office or anything not on Sunday, our church is available. So we've had women's Bible studies there. We've had men's breakfast there. We've had all kinds of stuff there. And they've been so gracious to allow us to use the building. Every now and then, while Greg and I are having coffee, we just looked at each other and said, you ever think maybe God might be doing something to put these churches together? And most of the time, Greg said, no, don't think this is going to happen. And then at times he said, nah, maybe that'll happen someday. Well, Greg is now at another church, and Cornerstone has been without a pastor for 4 months now. They have an interim pastor that's preaching on Sunday, but their elders have been meeting and praying and fasting, seeking God about what their next chapter needs to be. And in this process, over the course of, I guess, the last 6 months or so, at some point, the elders at Harvest crafted a document just to let them know, just let's kind of codify what we're talking about here. If God ever wanted this to happen, this is what we would be willing to do. And I want to read that document to you, okay? This is what it says. Oh, I was going to tell you about this. I'll tell you about that later. There's a new Harvest Church in Nepal, Kathmandu, first Sunday, today, all right? The first Harvest Church in Asia, big deal, okay? They are growing with a growth that is from God. Planting a church in a place where 86% of the people are Hindu, 2% Christian, and God is providing. God is working, okay? God is also doing some things in Granger as well. This is what that document said. It says this: Harvest Bible Chapel Granger recognizes and appreciates the history, values, and commitment of Cornerstone Community Church of Granger, and as a Christ-honoring body of believers. As a new church, Harvest understands the challenge and importance of building a healthy, uncompromising church in the Granger community. Granger desperately needs the light of the gospel shining brightly from the church. Amen. We also recognize the privilege and responsibility God has given Harvest and Cornerstone to steward resources, including people and property, to maximize effectiveness of ministry. Toward the goal of building a stronger church in Granger, the leadership team at Harvest sees value in the integration of Cornerstone and Harvest into one church, that is Harvest Bible Chapel Granger. Let me read that again. Toward the goal of building a stronger church in Granger, the leadership team of Harvest sees value in the integration of Cornerstone and Harvest into one church that would be Harvest Bible Chapel Granger. The integrated church would remain distinctly committed to the stated mission, pillars, doctrine, governance, and values of Harvest Bible Chapel under its current leadership. With renewed strength, the primary God-given mission of both churches, making disciples of Christ, will continue as the believers of Cornerstone and the believers of Harvest serve together with one purpose. Harvest would give appropriate consideration to the current commitments and obligations previously made by Cornerstone to ensure integrity and consistency with Harvest distinctives. Harvest would welcome the opportunity to grow together with the people of Cornerstone as a unified church for the glory of Jesus, who is the head of the church. Now, we crafted that document. We sent it off to Cornerstone and got a nice thank you, and not now. On Friday night, I got a call from one of the elders over there, and he requested a meeting. Our elders got together with their elders last night, and they said we would be interested in integrating these churches. As a matter of fact, the word that was used was adoption. They said we would kind of like to be adopted by Harvest. And so we told them we wouldn't be interested in that at all. It was crazy, and we've got all that we need, and just, you know, is that what we said? No, that's not what we said. No. We said we need to understand if that's God's will. They had been praying and fasting and believed that was the direction that they would like to recommend to their church. So the statement that I just read to you is being read right now at Cornerstone, and they're going to put that in front of their congregation. Obviously, that's going to spark a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion, but it's quite likely that within a couple of weeks, they're going to take a vote as to whether or not they would like to go through this process that we outlined in the document. And if that happens, that's going to fundamentally change some things around here, isn't it? Okay? They've got about 70 people over there that are hot-hearted, passionate worshipers of Jesus. They're ready to worship, walk, and work, and they're ready to get busy in a healthy church that has an identity and leadership and some infrastructure, and they're going to have to make that decision, okay? That may or may not happen, but because they're presenting it to their congregation over there, we're presenting it here so that you don't hear it on the street. And what that means for us is, well, let me tell you what it means for them first. First of all, if you're here today and you're a regular attender at Harvest, you went through a dating process of this church, didn't you? You accepted a first date. You came to a service. You checked it out. from a distance. You didn't talk to anybody. But then you came back the second time. You talked to somebody. Then you decided, I'll come to the party with the pastor. And then I'll come to Making Harvest my home. And then you fill out the membership application and you're in. Then you work, right? That's the way it works around here. Well, you might have done that over a span of a year. They're talking about doing it maybe within the span of a few weeks. And so there's a dating process that's going to need to happen before there's a marriage. And over the course of the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be over there trying to answer questions and talk to whoever would like to get their questions answered. What I've told them is, we realize you guys are going to need to do the same thing that everybody at Harvest has done at some point, where you're going to have to decide whether or not you want to be a part of this. Even if the church votes for the adoption, it doesn't mean that everybody there is going to fold in here. Everybody that folds in from there to here is going to need to go through the same process you went through. Individually, as families, they're going to have to decide, is this the church I want to be a part of? Is this the church that God wants me at? So they're going to go through that process. Let me tell you what that means for us. First of all, it means we need to thank God that He appears to be answering some prayers that we've prayed around here, that we would grow with a growth that is from God. I can assure you that our team leaders have done nothing to try to manufacture this, because we wanted it to be a God story. So we've stood back and we've waited. About all we did was craft that statement, send it over there, and if, you know, waiting to hear back. Let me tell you something else we need to do. We need to give that whole process over to God, and don't get involved trying to manufacture it now. We need to let God do His work there and prepare for what He wants for us to do. So we need to let this thing just kind of unfold. And if it takes 2 weeks, or if it takes 2 months or 2 years, or if it doesn't happen at all. God, it's your church. There's only one church in Granger, right? You realize that? There's only one church in Granger. There's only one head. And we're just joints and ligaments all operating. And we just need to ask God, do you want these two churches to operate under one leadership here, forming one local body? It's an incredible act of humility on their part to say, we would like to partner with you. And we need to demonstrate incredible humility to say, you know what, we're not the perfect church, and we got our own issues, and we're always going to have issues, but we think we're on mission. We think we have a charge from God. We're trying to be obedient here, and we'd love to welcome as many people as we can into that body. I'll tell you something else we need to do. We need to accept the responsibility that comes along with the privilege of pulling these two churches together, if that's what God wants. Imagine if in a few weeks 70 additional people show up for services here at Harvest. That would be exciting, wouldn't it? I mean, we pray for that all the time. It would result in basically a 25% increase in our attendance over 1 week. Just think about some of the responsibility that would involve as far as children's ministry, small groups, men's ministry, women's ministry, compassion ministry, worship team. There's some responsibility that goes along with that. And as we've prayed for growth, there's two things, practically speaking, that God uses to accelerate growth at this season of a church that's new, okay? We're getting ready to celebrate our second anniversary a month from today, in February. At this season, there's two things that accelerate growth. One is a facility, and it appears God may be supplying that in some sense. And the other is building staff, okay? So if we go from being a church of 300 to 370 overnight, and you got two staff members, we may need to think about how that we can shore that up. So anyway, all of those things, I realize, create a lot of questions. I'll just answer all of them right now. I don't know, okay? All right? That's the answer to every question that's popping in your brain right now. And so let me charge you with this. It appears God may be doing some things where we're going to act quickly, but in the acting quickly, there are going to be some seasons we're going to wait patiently, okay? So I know some of you are saying, man, I'm going to fire off an email and ask him this question. Don't do that. Just don't. I don't know. It's the only response you're going to get back. So anyway, pray for us as a leadership team. There's going to be a transition team, obviously, form if all this happens. I'm going to go do Party with the Pastor next Saturday night at Cornerstone with their people, okay? And then possibly the next weekend they would be voting as to whether or not they want this to happen. And then we've obviously got a lot of knots to unravel after that, okay? So is that anything we might want to get excited about? Yeah. I thought you might feel that way. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, and I just think it would be appropriate for us to spend some time thanking God that He knows our name, that He knows where we're at, that He knows what we need, that we have cried out to Him as Abba Father, confidently and consistently, and God may be doing something here that is a God-sized thing that we could not manufacture. Amen? All right. So why don't you stand together and let's end our time in worship.